Broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Learning Insights, featuring learning professionals improving performance to drive business results.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. How you doing, man?
Doing well.
Are you caught up on the rest from the Venture Atlanta remote?
I know. That's why I had to miss last week. We were at Venture Atlanta, which is one of my favorite events. It's at the aquarium, which is an amazing place to do an event. I don't know if, Leanne, do the ASTD, do they do events there? Aquarium? Yeah, it's stunning. You have the backdrop of beluga whales kind of swimming by you, and that huge fish tank, and we were there doing what we do, interviewing people that were involved in the venture community here.
So it was a lot of fun, but I don't think any match for what we're going to get a chance to do this morning. We have with us from our sponsor Training Pros, we have David Edelman, and we're going to get a chance to visit with him in a little while. But first up on Learning Insights this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Director Enterprise Organizational Development for West Corporation, Ms. Vanessa Carey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Stone. Thank you, Lee. And I'm excited to hear that you were just at the aquarium because, off subject slightly, the Boys and Girls Club is having their annual gala event there tomorrow night that I'll be attending.
Yes, that is a great venue. I think one of the best venues here in town.
They do a fantastic job out there. That's my
they
got to
work on the coffee, though.
So yeah, well, they have it just an area kept running to work out. On. Yeah. And then another shout out for Fat Phillies across the street.
That's the backup food.
I love that place. Mm-hmm. So, Vanessa, West Corporation, let's start, if we could, just by getting a little bit of a thumbnail sketch. What business is West in? What do they do for folks?
Okay. Well, that's not really an easy question, Stone, because West is a large corporation that does lots of different things. Their growth has come mainly from mergers and acquisitions. They started approximately 20 years ago, and I'm fortunate enough to have a member on my team that has been with them the entire time. So they started out as call center, and back in the day, I guess when you ordered Richard Simmons exercise videos and the sounds of the 70s, you would be calling West to place your order.
Nice.
So one of my employees has been there for the entire time, so she has lots of information and knowledge base from that. But what they do now, we have close to 40,000 employees, I think, international. And as I said, most of their growth has come from acquisitions and mergers. So we put it into two distinct areas. The old business, so to speak, is the West Business Solutions, and then we have our Unified Communications, which is probably what most of you would be familiar with because you probably use one of their platforms, whether it's conferencecall.com, whether it's Raindance, whether it is Training Center, WebEx Meeting Center. Unisphere is one of their virtual platforms, so they have lots of different things to offer our customers and our clients. I will say we do have a couple of facilities close by. We have one in Noonan, we have one in Valley, and West Point. So those would be the closest call centers through Intercall. So it's a large, I hate to say it, siloed, but there are a lot of different business units that do a lot of different things. One that I think is extremely interesting is Intrado, and they have the majority of the technology for all of the 911 calls and the emergency.
So that's fascinating that they started out as like the call 1-800, and then they really embraced the technology. I guess they were so good at it, they were able to kind of find other areas where they can use their expertise and then really kind of expand the marketplace.
That's exactly how it happened, because they had these call centers going during the day and then they weren't doing anything at night. So it's like, how can we use this?
Right.
And so they were very innovative in that sense to be able to utilize their technology time-wise, and then as time kind of past, we here's some new avenues we can look at for technology. And now it is just amazing. Recently, when I went to our headquarters in Omaha, I actually got to go into the Network Operations Center, which is the holy grail of the call center environment. So you do feel like you are at the enterprise mothership when you walk in and the curtain opens and you see the floor to ceiling technology screens and like everything that's going on in the world is there.
And they embraced and they were able to kind of move with the internet because they started way before the internet, right? They were doing the phone call from landlines that people were calling in, like you were saying about ordering Richard Simmons videos. But so they were able to take that technology and kind of grow with it. And then when it went to the internet, they embraced that. They didn't run away from it. And that's a really great story.
No, there's no running. Always on the lookout for new business and ways that we can help them grow. Even now, probably I hate to say that when you're frustrated with one of your customer service reps or you're frustrated because you can't speak to a live person, it may be West Corporation. Recently, I was in the doctor's office and I saw West Corporation on there. So they actually use our products to send me reminder calls about appointments.
So your grand poobah of organizational development for this outfit, tell us a little bit about what that means and what your role is.
Well, I don't know that they've given me the title of grand poobah, but I
Do you
will
need Stone to make a call?
No, I will put that on my business card. I feel certain they will embrace that.
And we'll put it on the post too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Usually it's something to do with a tiara, but I'll go with grand poobah.
Okay.
So as the grand poobah of organizational development, just from the structure of the organization that I've mentioned, it makes it very, very challenging because of all the different business units and their unique, yet not so unique, needs. When it comes to leadership development, you know, leaders have the same core competencies. There could be some different theories around that, but we try to offer some leadership training as well as some other modules of training so that there's some consistency across the organization so that no matter what business unit you're in, we know that across the business unit, everyone has opportunity and is exposed to this same model and the same information so that at least gives them a foundation to go from. But when we talk about organizational development, it involves a lot of things for my small but mighty team. And if they're out there listening today, I'm giving a big shout out to them because, of course, nothing would be possible without them. I'm very fortunate to have a mighty team. So we do anything from exit interviews so we can gather data about what is going on with our employees because, as you can imagine, a call center environment, that is one of the biggest challenges.
Sure.
We do things such as engagement surveys. What can we do to make the employee have a more positive experience? What can we do for their environment? As we go up the leadership chain, we go up the leadership chain in hope of implementing change. As we do that, we have 360 assessments and coaching as well as different leadership academies that they can attend. A lot of customization based on the data points that we're able to get from exit interviews and engagement surveys and 360s. We can see trends across the organization. So we can say, for example, okay, we've done 360s with these three business units. So it's not just you that is struggling with strategy and innovation. We've got some other business units that are struggling with that too. So let's put something together and customize it so it can benefit the entire organization because we are a shared service. So that means we kind of have to try to divide up our time equally to meet their unique needs, but as well, what can we do across the enterprise to ensure there is some consistency in those things?
Now, when you have call centers, you have them all over the country, all over the world?
We have them all over the world, Lee. Do you want to go to the Philippines? Do you want to go to Makati? Where else do you want to go? Do you want to go to France? Do you want to go to Sydney? Do you want to go to Kingston, Shanghai? We got all kinds of places for you to go.
Now, when you're doing those kind of assessments of the people who work there, Are they have similar problems and similar solutions, or do you have to have a custom solution for France that doesn't work well in Noonan?
Well, I think France and Noonan are very, very similar. Yes.
The same, is it a type of person that's kind of drawn to the call center work and they want to, you know, that they have certain skill sets and they're able to kind of work their way there and be engaged and happy there? Is it?
No, absolutely. There are similarities. Now, granted, you're going to approach it differently on a couple of levels. One is compliance issues because of the international piece.
Right.
So, but we don't necessarily address that piece, although some of the compliance training comes under us. But there is a certain skill set, and that comes more under human resources when we're doing our pre-hire assessments. Mm-hmm. So we work with them to ensure that the competencies needed for that specific job in the call center are being addressed in the pre-hire assessments, because you're going to want same personality, you're going to want some same functional skills such as multitasking, because as you can imagine, if you are in the call center environment and you are working, you may be working for several different customers at the same time. And several different clients. So you've got lots of different screens going on. So multitasking would be something that we're looking for. Also, you want to say assertive, but you also want to say thick-skinned.
Right.
And at the same time, being customer service oriented. So it's not an easy task. So HR does a great job of looking at some pre-hire assessments, and then our onboarding process is very important. And we're looking, well, I shouldn't say we're looking, we are in the process of utilizing one of our new tools for onboarding. Unisphere is part of Intercall. And I will give another little plug for Intercall. It is now the largest conferencing solutions provider in the world. So if you're not using one of their products, you need to get with it. But Unisphere has a virtual environment, so we're looking for that onboarding process to make it virtual for all employees, no matter what business unit they're with. So you come into the virtual environment so you can see West Enterprise, you can see pictures of the NOC, and you can say, oh, this is what my company does.
Right.
Oh, but this is what my specific business unit does, and it's pretty cool, too.
So I want to dive into this 360 assessment idea. Do you find that employees are willing to be candid, and or is leadership embracing the data, or does that take some real massaging from you and your team?
Well, what we didn't tell you, Stone, is that we have done a 360 on you, and today is actually
my last day.
Right. It's actually an intervention, because I'm going to go over some of that feedback with you. Now, Lee may or may not have completed the assessment. I'm not really sure.
We do 720s here. Yeah, you know, that 360 was so 2011.
Yeah, so you're moving forward. So I'll talk to you about your feedback a little bit later, Stone. Mm-hmm. No, the 360, lots of corporations have been using them for a long time, but the call center environment is slightly different in that let's just promote people, because you were great as an agent, so you're going to be able to manage all these people.
Right, it's logical.
So getting them on board initially was like, what? But my background is psychology and counseling, so I look at it from two avenues, so to speak. As a clinician, I very much focus on and emphasize the confidentiality piece. And then I am the one that does the coaching sessions. And sometimes one of my teammates does the coaching sessions with the leaders. So you will have a few that are just slightly resistant. But I have to say, for the most part, I would say 99%, they have been very receptive. After that, we develop an individual development plan. We supply resources for them. What it does for us, then, we can go back to the business unit leader and in aggregate show him results, no individual results, but say, of the competencies we assessed on this 360 for your organization, here are your top two or your top three, and here across the board are the bottom ones. So everyone in your organization has an opportunity to develop for development in these areas. So we need to address that, because how's that going to influence, or how's that going to impact the strategy or the initiatives that you have set? Now, I could probably give you examples if it wasn't for the confidentiality agreement of some that were very open to it as well as those that were very resistant to it. You always know when someone interrupts you to say, to defend themselves. And it's like, it is not about defending yourself. This is, we're just looking at the facts. And it's also an individual development opportunity. I think the call center environment has been so competitive that they often look to, well, how do I rank with everybody else? Was I better than any, you know, how did I score? What did it look like? Did I win? There are no prizes in 360s. There's no raffle, nothing. It's just like, this is just you. We're just learning about you. And as learning leaders or as trainers, we know that awareness is the key to change. So if we can at least heighten their level of awareness. So we're taking some baby steps toward that, because leadership training or development other than the operations piece has not really been part of the culture until the last five years or so.
Now, on the training side of things, you've talked about how you consult directly with the leaders. On the training side of things, do you have a team of trainers, or do you outsource trainers and provide training kind of attached to these gaps that you uncover?
Yes, 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 and yes. But I'm guessing you want a little bit more information than that. We don't do much outsourcing because, you know, we, as everyone else, are on a shoestring budget. And I am continually amazed at what we are able to do with the resources that we have. So to address some of that, then that's what we want to do. We want to go in and address those gaps that we've seen. And we can customize a piece. And usually what we do, we customize it, pilot it with one of the business units, and then they are able to say, that is awesome, that is great. Here's the results that we were able to achieve from implementing that. And then the other business units want to hop on board. We have some basic core training that we offer to everyone in regards to leadership. So we have the West University. And within the West University, we have Leadership Academy and Advanced Leadership Academy. So if you're wanting to be a leader, the Leadership Academy will prepare you for that. It is a 6-session course, 2 hours a week, which is very big to get your employees off the floor for 2 hours, 6 weeks in a row.
I'll bet. But there's a clear path. If you have ambitions to be a leader, there's a clear path and a structure for doing it.
Right.
That's fantastic.
With the Leadership Academy, the I don't know if it's unique, but I think what strengthens it is that the supervisor is involved after class every week. The employee meets with their supervisor. Here's what we talked about. They have homework assignments that they have to do in conjunction with their supervisor. So the supervisor is clearly seeing the results on a weekly basis of what they've learned, and then can help them implement that on a regular basis.
Now, those kind of things, I would imagine, are a little tricky, because if somebody's really good on the floor in the call center, and they're like, hey, I want more, they might be one of the top performing people. And then isn't it kind of a double-edged sword for the manager to go, well, I'm taking them off the floor to do this learning, and then they might even leave. Like, how are they incented to keep them engaged? Like, how is that a win for them?
How is it a win for the manager or the supervisor?
Right, to take, like, these top performers and then kind of get them above and beyond them.
Well,
How do you manage that?
Well, some of them are indeed resistant, and that's where the whole culture of change and culture of training comes in. And if you're looking at any type of leader pipeline, we've done succession planning and having a succession pipeline with some of the business units, but it's also through the training process, working with those supervisors. We put them through Advanced Leadership Academy. So then they know that's for only those who have direct reports. So then they know how to handle, and they learn about developing their direct reports and how that in turn does benefit them, and for them not to see it as a negative.
Right.
But indeed it's a positive, because if your team isn't growing, you're not growing, your results aren't growing, you're not going to generate any more revenue, you're going to stay static. You know, you've heard the saying, Lee, if you're green, you grow. If you're ripe, you rot. So we don't want to have those call center managers rotting in there. We want to have them continually growing.
Right. So there has to be a path for them as well.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
I want to bring David Edelman with Training Pros, our sponsor, into this conversation, but I want to continue visiting with Vanessa. And my next question has to do with media, because I'm operating under the impression that now there are so many choices in the way you can deliver training. There's the live stand-up training. There's the webinar. There's the video.
Yeah, and these guys are the ones, they're the leaders in this in a lot
of
places.
Right, and you got the phones and all that stuff. So what kind of your own cooking? What are you doing? Are you using multiple devices and all that jazz?
Well, my own cooking is there's clearly no groceries in my refrigerator right now. There is coffee and creamer, and that is the limit. But my cooking within the training, fortunately, with Intercall having so many solutions for us to utilize, we are able to use the WebEx Training Center, which enables us to do globally. And one of the key features of it is within that webinar, you can break people out into breakout groups. They can go in, do a breakout session, and then come back into to the large group.
And this is all virtually?
This is all virtually.
Wow.
Nice.
So the majority of our training now is virtually. We do a few stand-up trainings, which would be customized just for specific locations. But as far as to the iPad and to the iPhone, we're not, we have the technology. We're not quite there yet. We do a lot with Brainshark and record it so they can play it over. But the majority of ours is a virtual training, but we can streamline media, all kinds of multimedia into that. So I do believe our next step, like David can probably share with you, when we went to the American Society, the annual leaders conference, being able to put the schedule on the phone app or your iPad app, and you can create your schedule, and then it sends you reminders for each one that you're supposed to go to each session. And then you can pull up your notes from that. You can pull up the PowerPoints from that. So that's a goal for us as we move forward, to utilize some of the technology that is out there so that we can appeal, when you talk about retention and you talk about not letting people rot in there, so that we can appeal to the new generations coming along that are used to that type of technology. Where, not that I'm giving my age away over the radio, because I know no one would do that, but I know it's a learning curve for me. But I do have an iPad and I do have an iPhone, and I'm working with my 80-year-old father, who's probably listening right now, on his iPhone and his iPad, because you have to stay current and ready. Right. So as a training group, so that we can stay green and we can grow, we've got to stay current with the technology. For us, fortunately, we have the products in-house that will allow us to do that.
Now, David, is this a growing trend that you're seeing all across industries? Are you seeing more and more use of these technology devices? And if so, how is that impacting the trainer that has the skills to do the stand-up stuff? Are you finding they have to adapt to that as well and incorporate that into their approach?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you're a trainer, you have to know how to WebEx, how to, you know, do the teleconference thing, absolutely. And the technology, right now, I guess the biggest gap is, you know, we're really trying to train as a training industry, really trying to jump on this mobile learning, you know, the things that Vanessa was talking about. Everybody doesn't necessarily have those phones, you know, the iPads or the iPhones just yet. So there's kind of this period where we're gearing up for it. You know, we're getting ready for it when everybody has those. And we want to make sure that, you know, those apps are out and ready to go.
One of the challenges, Stone, that my team has experienced is as we move to the virtual learning platform, as a facilitator, you're used to the live audience. And facilitators and trainers usually get their energy from that live audience. And you can read the faces, you can read their body language, and you know if they're getting it or not. So you just have to get very creative in engaging your learner by using polls, by using surveys, you know, calling their name on a regular basis, putting them into those small groups and keeping them engaged that way. As a facilitator starting out on a virtual platform, I have even asked people, will you come into my office while I facilitate this virtual session, so I'll have someone to make eye contact with, so I'll know and I can get a reality check. Am I making sense?
Are you connecting with them or not?
Right, exactly. So, and I tell my my team as well, stand up, walk around the room, anything you have to do to keep your energy up, so it's going to keep them engaged and them involved in your session.
Right. I would imagine that's a challenge to get everybody that's used to performing in front of live people to now perform in front of a screen.
To perform in front of a screen, yes, because, like, where's my affirmation? Where's my
right.
applause?
How do I know that, you know, that they haven't left the room?
Exactly. Well, we know they haven't left the room because you can see, because our technology shows us if they're engaged and if they have even gone off the screen. So if they've gone off the screen, you can come back and say,
Hey, Bill, what did you
Columstone Fat Philly?
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Fat Philly, I noticed I got a question for you. And then that kind of brings them back in. But what I thought was neat recently, David, and maybe you saw this too, was when we were at the annual leaders conference for American Society for Training and Development, it was a given and it was accepted that in a session, if you were in the session with a live facilitator, it's okay if you're on your iPad, if you're on your iPhone. They encourage it. They even would make comments such as, did you tweet that out? I need somebody to tweet that out. Or don't you dare tweet that out. So that was a change for me for that to be acceptable. So I know for a lot of trainers, they think, oh, well, if they're on their iPad or if they're on their laptop that they're not paying attention, but in fact that's where it's headed. You have to allow that to be part of the training experience.
Yeah, you know, today and with all the multitasking we do, what was really interesting was the live Twitter feed on the front, you know, the home screen of the app. So you could actually sit there and live, you know, real time, see what was going on in the other sessions as well, and kind of what the major content pieces that people were pointing out were.
And then you would know if you needed to go back and get more information on that session. One of my teammates, Chris Hitchcock, she was actually in part of a presentation, and while she was presenting, someone was tweeting out about what she had just said. Mm-hmm. So when she sat back down, I was like, look, you got a tweet out. So all kinds of new things with technology. I know if there's anyone super young listening to this, they're probably going, you're getting excited about a tweet out.
So it sounds like both of you are getting tremendous value out of your involvement with this ASTD, American Society for Training and Development. I'd like both of you to speak to that a little bit, if you will. And start with you, David. Tell us a little bit about your experience with them.
Well, I've been a member of the of ASTD National for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, when I moved down here to Atlanta about 4 or 5 years ago, I decided I wanted to get involved with the local chapter, and it's really been a great opportunity for me. I've been involved kind of on the volunteering side a lot with the chapter. I volunteer for Habitat for Humanity. We teach computer training courses for the homeowners. That they have a program where they get new computers that are donated, and they have to go through a class in order to kind of get the computer. And then I just recently started with the Goodwill Project, where we teach computer classes at the...
There's a halo over this guy's head. He volunteers for all these organizations.
Yeah, well, it's, you know...
Is that what that is, a halo?
That's the headphone. The really cool thing about it, though, is that, you know, you look for opportunities to volunteer. And, you know, I could go volunteer with Habitat and go out and build houses, but I wouldn't be, you know, any more helpful than anybody else. I'd probably come out with sore thumbs, you know, by the end of it. But in this case, I have an opportunity to use something that, you know, sorry to say, but is it like a talent that I have that I can now use that on a volunteer, you know, to volunteer and do good. So that's the fun thing about it.
Now, this leadership conference, was that here in town or was that a national conference?
It was a national conference, and it was actually in D.C., Alexandria. So all of the... There's different chapters throughout the world, and this was for all the chapter leaders within the United States. So I think there was about 300 chapter leaders, so it gives you an opportunity to look at other chapters, meet their leaders. What are some challenges that you all share? Here's some solutions that we are doing. Here's something you might try.
So kind of best practices?
Absolutely.
So do you learn anything over there?
And, of course, Atlanta is always within the best practices.
The leaders
examples.
Of the leaders.
We are the leaders of the leaders. We get lots of woohoos at those meetings.
We were the loudest, too, I believe.
Well, we were the loudest, and that may be because I was there, but it may also...
I'm sure of it.
I don't know. We'll have to check our tweets to see if that's an accurate assessment of yourself.
Or it may also be because we had the largest representation there. We had 14 of our members there, and so we did have the largest representation.
Now, but it was a good experience?
Absolutely a positive experience, because you see other volunteer leaders that are doing what you're doing, the challenges they face, this possible solutions. It gets you energized. It gets you excited. Mm-hmm. You know, you come back and you have lots of ideas. And we work to ensure that each of us attended the session so that each member attended different sessions so that we got all of the sessions in. So
right.
we can share the information and see how we might want to apply it and things that we may want to try.
Now, how is volunteering for the ASTD helped you in your career?
Well, anytime you can have volunteer experience and you're serving, because as a leader, that's what leaders do. They serve the people that are working with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me opportunity on two levels to ensure that my leadership capabilities and my skills are being utilized in a nonprofit or in an area where otherwise they may not have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, in my career, or as you said, has it helped you in your job? I can, one, see what other people are doing at their companies. I can do the same things with my leaders. And then you get ideas on how to implement things in your company that perhaps you're doing with the volunteer organization and or members in the volunteer organization are implementing in their companies.
Now, and your company is okay with you investing that time?
They absolutely are. It's very interesting. Another member on my team, I think I mentioned her earlier, Chris, is the president of the Omaha chapter, or I think it's actually Nebraska chapter. So it's helped us share lots of ideas. And you want to give that flexibility. As you know, if you're not being able to give a lot of perks financially or other ways, then if you can give your employees flexibility in serving and learning and growing, that's going to keep them engaged. And it's also going to benefit you because they're going to be able to implement those things at work right. in their learnings.
Before we wrap this morning, one last thing that I'd like us to tackle, if we could. I want to get some counsel from you and take full advantage of your presence here.
Well, you know, I do have my master's in counseling.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Lay down on the couch over there.
But I'm hoping there will be benefit for our listeners, and I know there will be for your internal folks. You have so many great things going, and you obviously do have the support of your leadership. What counsel, if any, would you have for your leaders in your organization for taking full advantage of all these resources that you and your team can bring to them? And what counsel, if any, would you offer employees who want to fully capitalize on those resources to take the path to leadership if they want? What are some things they can do to get the most out of it?
Let me address the employee piece first, because leaders are always saying they want their employees to have initiative. So don't wait, because no one's going to take care of you. You have to take care of yourself. So it's as simple as going to the website, and every opportunity would be there on the website. And if you can't find it, there's a name there for you to contact. So just like take the initiative and do it. For leaders, I would encourage them, let's do our self-assessment first. Do I really know what kind of leader I am, and do I have the skills? And do I have have I started to rot a little bit? Do I need to get some green on me so that I can let that drill down through the organization? Because, you know, if it starts at the top, it will definitely drill down. So, again, for the leaders, it's the same thing. Take the initiative and make sure that you're doing everything you can do for your development, and then that helps you be more aware. There's nothing that makes you more self-aware of your positive and your opportunities, so to speak, as when you're leading a team. And that then what you learn from that applies to every relationship, because it's your communication skills, it's your problem solving skills.
Right. And it goes beyond your work.
It takes it to every right. aspect of your life. Absolutely.
Now, do you believe everybody has a leader inside them?
You know, Lee, I wanted to answer that immediately. Does everyone have a leader inside them? Everyone has a leader inside them, but it looks really different. Because some people have natural leader. You know, there's lots of different theories on this. And you've heard
well,
about
you're the expert.
Right. Exactly.
In the room, at least.
So there's lots of different theories. And, you know, you've heard books and titles, the leader in you. So that's looking for what does my personality, what does my leader look like? Because clearly my leadership looks different than other leaderships. And part of what we do at West, too, is looking at the individual contributors well, because they're leading.
Don't want to be a leader.
Right. I don't want to go this leadership path.
I'm good where I'm at. I just want to be the best at what I do.
I want to be an excellent individual contributor, and that's great. And you want to make sure that you're supporting them in doing that.
So what's next for you and your team? Where are you going to focus your energy over the next several months, if you're allowed to say?
Actually, what we're doing over the next several months is starting a mentoring program. So we have not rolled that out because in our needs assessment, coaching and mentoring was one of the needs. So we plan to fill that gap by developing it, of course, in-house, and then we will roll it out next year.
Well, I'll tell you what, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning. And you got to come back.
All right, Stone. We'll be back.
And David, it's been fun having you as well. I hope you'll come back from time to time.
Thank you.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our producer Kevin Finn, our sponsor Training Pros, and our guest this morning, David Edelman with Training Pros, and our very special guest, Vanessa Carey with West Corporation, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Learning Insights.
Have a great day.